welcome to the Self Mastery Journey podcast. I'm your host, Montel B. I'm a millennial success coach, digital content creator, and full-time dreamer. My mission is to help ambitious visionaries like you unlock the code to life success. Join me as I take you through my journey of self-mastery, the lessons, the successes, the failures. This is going to be your space to call in your desires, transform your reality, and reclaim your power. Let's dive in. So I am going to be talking today a bit about my story. I personally have documented quite a lot of my story here on YouTube throughout the years. This is going to be almost my seventh year here on YouTube, and I've documented a lot from my journey of going through beauty and confidence issues to then evolving into becoming a coach and just sharing my journey in between me starting therapy, me moving out multiple times. I've shared a lot of my story, but I don't feel like I've shared it in a way where there's just one video that tells all. And I really just wanted to create that space for me to share my story and for me to have a video to refer back to, a video that tells my story in hopefully a succinct way. I mean, I'm not sure how succinct it's going to be, but I just wanted to have that one video that's here on my channel, there for people to see, for them to understand my journey, relate to that journey. And then as videos progress, I am going to be, of course, going into more detail in certain topics, but this really is going to be that starting point. And the reason why it was really important for me to share this journey, especially now, is because recently, over the past 12 months or so, I have been going through such a deep awakening, an awakening in all areas of my life, spiritually, physically, mentally, in my relationships, in my health, in my business, career, certain ideologies I had for my life, certain visions I had for my life, just so many things have evolved and changed. And I've just been awoken to a whole new identity, you could say. I'm currently recreating myself as we speak, which we all do. And I just felt like the time has come now for me to really share my story, be a lot more open, be a lot more vulnerable with my audience, because I truly believe that my purpose, and I don't just believe we have one purpose, I believe we have multiple, but I know for sure that one of my purposes here on this earth is to be a guide for women, for younger women, for the younger generations who may have experienced a similar story to myself, may have experienced a similar upbringing. I truly believe I'm here to be a guide, to be a mentor, and to help them transition, because it's possible. I personally did it. I'm a living, walking testimony to my own story and my experiences. And I know there's so many women, especially younger women. I know there's so many younger women who resonate with my story, but they just don't have the voice. They don't have the platform. And maybe they just don't have the people around them. They're not in the right environment for them to really understand what it is that they're going through and how to overcome it. So that is truly what I believe the mission of my life and my channel is. And over the next, well, forever now, you're going to be seeing not an entire shift, but you definitely are going to see me talk a lot more about personal development and inner work and healing and just a journey to womanhood, or the journey through womanhood, because I truly believe that is the area where I have seen the most growth and transition in my own life. And this is the area that I most feel passionate about. So that was a bit long-winded, but yeah, I really just want to share this story. And this is something that even if only one person resonates with this, and if this speaks to one person, then I have done my job and I am happy and I'm satisfied. But I just know for sure this is going to reach so many more people and inspire so many other young women in the 20s, women in the 30s, going through the same transition, the same awakening, and the same growth that I experienced. So I just want to ask, if this does resonate with you in any way, please, please help me out by just giving this video a like, so a thumbs up. It really helps the channel. Dropping a comment as well, just if any part of this story, any part of my story resonates with you, just drop a comment on this video. It really helps me to know that what I am speaking on is helping and is guiding you in the right direction. So Yeah, we're going to get started. I have written down a few notes, a few bullet points of things that I want to make sure I do touch on, because I don't know where this video is going to go. I don't know how long it's going to be. And I know that I've written some notes, but I really do also want to speak from my heart, because I know that when I write a script, especially for YouTube, I tend to want to follow that script. And then what I'm saying, it just, although what I'm saying is still the truth, it just doesn't come off as authentic and as from the heart as I want it to be. So I have a few notes down, but I'm just kind of going to freestyle it and we'll see what happens. Oh, okay, I'm back. Yeah, my signal just dropped then. But I'm just going to freestyle this, see what happens. And if we have to do a follow-up video, we'll do that. But if you are watching live, make sure you do drop me some comments in the chat. I really do feed off of the energy of people around me. So if you are giving me that engagement in the chat, that would really help me dive into these topics a lot deeper. Because another thing I want to mention is, even me being a creator, being on social media for 6 years or so, being a coach, being a mentor, guiding other women through their own transition, I still struggle with vulnerability. And this is something that I'm personally going through right now in my life. I'm going through therapy for this, because vulnerability is something that I have personally struggled with in my life. And I'm definitely taking the right steps now to overcome this. And this is something I will be speaking about a bit later on towards the end. But vulnerability hangovers are real. And that basically means when you are open and vulnerable, you tend to have this strange feeling afterwards, like, ugh. It's a kind of a feeling of regret, but you know you're doing something that was necessary, and you know you're doing something for the greater good. So you know it's the right direction, it's the right thing to do. However, it doesn't prevent that feeling that you get. And we all go through it, no matter what stage in your journey you're at. So that's what I was just going to say. Definitely leave me some comments. Let me know if this resonates with you at any point. And yeah, if there's anything you want me to dive a bit deeper into, I sure will as well. So yeah, let's get into, I guess I'll start with just sharing a bit of who I am now, just in case this is the first time you are coming across myself. Welcome. My name is Montel, and I am a lifestyle content creator, business mentor, branding mentor, and a whole leap of other things as well. And recently, I've definitely come to terms with the fact that I do not want to put myself in a box. And that's something that I have tried to do for so long, especially in the past couple of years with me starting my online business. I just felt like all of these different titles and labels, and what do I call myself? How do I show up? All of these things was restricting me and putting me in such a box, in a way that I just kind of repelled from it, and I sabotaged myself in so many ways. And now I'm just realizing that I am a free spirit. I'm free to be whoever I want to be. I'm free to show up however I want to show up, and the right people will come across me. And yeah, that's it basically. So I wear many hats, but I just personally like to say I'm a creative being, as we all are. So my journey on, well, in fact, I'm not even going to get into who I am now, because I've kind of told you I'm a content creator, I'm a coach, I'm a mentor, I'm all of these things. But the point of this live video today is to take you back into where it started for me and how I transitioned into the person I am today, because I haven't always been this confident, free-spirited, happy, positive girl, woman that you see today. I definitely came from a background of depression and abuse and just loads of things that could have led me on a different path. I could have easily spiraled into a different path, a different lifestyle, but I personally made the choice to transform my life into what it is today. So taking it back to my early life, my early years, and this is so funny, but I always like think back to this. And honestly, my first memory on earth must have been when I was around 5 years old. And I remember a remote being thrown at my head. That was honestly my first memory that I can remember. And I must have been around 5 years old, maybe. And I just remember this remote being launched at my head. And I honestly just think that's what just kind of snapped me into life. And from that point on, I just realized, oh, wait, I'm actually alive. But before that, I don't remember anything. You know when you hear about those people who are like 2 years old and they can remember all these prolific memories? That wasn't me. I must have been about 5 or 6 maybe, and I just remember a remote being dashed at my head. I don't know who threw the remote. That, I don't know. I'm not naming any names, but that's what I remember. I just remember that being my first ever memory at the age of around 5 or 6 years old. So I grew up with my mum, my stepdad, and my siblings. And yeah, I just grew up in that kind of family unit for some time. And yeah, I guess things when I was super young, 5 and 6, wasn't that bad. I mean, who has a difficult life at that age? I feel like life was just happening. I was just being a kid. We was all just being kids and we were just going through life. They say that your subconscious like mind and the memories that you form and the experiences you have, they really start to form from the age of 7 onwards. So anything before that point is kind of you just existing. And that's what I felt like I was doing at that age. I was just existing. I wasn't really noticing anything too much. I wasn't picking up on anything. I was just alive. That was pretty much it. So like I say, I lived with my mum, stepdad, and my siblings, and that was kind of my upbringing. And I guess I've written some notes here on what I remembered and like the first memory of love that I witnessed. So I guess that my upbringing, it was kind of dysfunctional. My parents, my stepdad and my mum, they did argue quite a lot, and you could have considered it a dysfunctional relationship. But there was one memory that I'll always remember, and this was like my first experience of witnessing love, which was when my stepdad actually came over to Turkey. We was on a family holiday. He said that he couldn't make it onto the holiday, so me, my mum and my siblings just went anyway, and we went off to Turkey. And then like on the second or third day, he actually came and surprised us. So he got on the flight and came to our hotel and surprised us. And I just remember my mum, she was on the toilet at the time, and she just literally ran off the toilet and was just like hugging him and was just so excited. And that was one of my first memories of like witnessing like love and just happiness and joy. And that was something that I just really hold close to me. And that was just a really great time. However, after that, things kind of became a bit dysfunctional from that point, and there was a lot of arguing, and eventually my stepdad and my mum ended up splitting up. And at that point, my brother and sister, who was my stepdad's children, went off to live with him. And I was just kind of in a place where it was either I stay with my mum and her new partner, or I go with my brothers and sisters. So at that point, that's when I decided I'm also going to go with my brothers and sisters. And my mum kind of let me go, and that was that. And I grew up with my stepdad and my brother and sisters from that point. And to be fair, I've always had a super close relationship with my stepdad. I love him to bits. Honestly, he's the reason why I am the person I am today, why I'm so adventurous, why, yeah, we just had such a great relationship. I had a great relationship with all my brothers and sisters, even my stepbrothers and my stepsisters, which I don't really like to use the word step. I just like to say we're all one big family. So my extended sisters and my real brother and sisters, like we all just had a super close relationship, a great upbringing. I really could not fault that. But it was just getting to a point where obviously I was getting a lot older, and the house we was living in was pretty crowded at this point. So there was a lot of us piling on top of each other. And yeah, I just think that we was all growing at that point. And I just remember this point being a super confusing time in my life as well, because it was brought to my attention that I have a biological father and now he wants to meet me. And this was a really confusing time for me, because I just remember there were some times where my mum would come to visit me at my stepdad's house with my brothers and sisters, and she'll mention, oh, like, your real dad wants to see you, your real dad, your real dad. And the word real dad was just like, it was just something that became something that was on my mind all the time. And I was like, well, I was just curious to what was happening, because all I've ever known is my stepdad to be my actual dad. And my stepdad, by the way, is white as well. So as I was growing up, it also came to my attention that, okay, he is not my actual dad then, because he's white. And then going to school, when he'd take me to school, other kids would notice and ask me questions like, why is your dad white? So it was just, as you can imagine, a really confusing time. And then I just had voices around me telling me about this real dad who wants to see me while still trying to build a relationship with my stepdad. So fast forward on a bit, I ended up making this decision to move away from my stepdad's house, and I moved in with my auntie at the time. And the reason I decided to do that, there was a few reasons, but I guess the first reason is because, like I say, it was getting very crowded and I felt like I needed a bit more space, and there was more space at my auntie's house. So that was one of the reasons. And then another reason is I was confused. I was confused with just like who I was. That was the first experience I had of an identity crisis, just not really knowing who I was, not knowing how I related to the people around me. So I guess I was confused. And then third, I just wanted to be closer to my friends as well. So by moving in with my auntie, it meant I could go to school with my friends and I could be closer to them because they live in the same area. So I made the decision to move. And looking back now, I mean, I don't like to have regrets in life, and I don't really feel like I regret anything because everything happened for a reason and everything guided me to become the person I am today. But I will say that was one of the decisions I made that if I was to go back, I probably would have done a lot differently, because I went into that very selfishly, and I just kind of made the decision that I'm going to leave without really consulting my stepdad or anyone. And they was obviously heartbroken at my decision to just leave our family and start afresh. And I could have gone about it so much better, because I just literally left and that was that. I may have gone back a couple of times a year maybe, but for the most part, I just left and started a new life. And that's the part I do regret. I don't regret leaving because, like I say, it guided me to the place that I am now and the woman I am now. But I would say that if I was to go back and do that differently, I would have definitely stayed in contact. I would have visited a lot more, and I would just have made more of an effort to maintain that relationship. But like I say, I was very young. I was confused. I thought I was doing the best for me. And yeah, that is just one thing that I had to learn from, I guess. So now rolling on to my teenage years. So not to like bore you with all of the details of the story, so I'm going to fast forward a bit, but let's just say things at my auntie's house was going well for a bit of time, and I went to school and everything was fine. But then as I was getting older and becoming a teenager, I was living with one of my cousins, and that relationship just started to take a downhill spiral, because obviously we was both young, going through puberty, we were just clashing a lot, and because we were sharing a room, it was becoming very difficult. It wasn't just like little fallouts, it was actually like serious. Well, I wouldn't say too serious, but it was just getting to a point where it just wasn't working. So at that point, the decision was made for me to move back to my auntie's house, back to my mum's house at this point. So bearing in mind, I have not lived with my mum for absolutely years, about maybe 10 years plus. So the decision was made to move back to my mum's house. And I remember at this moment in time, just kind of feeling just a bit let down in a way. And now I reflect on it, I can really start to understand how I felt in the moment. But at the time, I just kind of brushed it off and I thought, okay, it's what it is. I'm going to have to move back. But now looking back at that point, I did feel quite hurt. And this is something that brought upon a lot of issues going into my later teenage years, issues with like abandonment and feeling neglected, things like that, because I just felt like I was being pushed around from pillar to post. As I always say, I was pretty much the gypsy of the family, just moving around constantly, not really feeling settled, not feeling like I had a place which I could call home, not feeling like I had the support system. Even though I had so much support around me and so much love around me, I guess because it wasn't from my actual parents, It was just a confusing time. And I also forgot to mention that my biological father, who I said I found out about at the age of around 8 or so, he has actually been in jail for my whole life, and he probably will be in jail for the rest of his life. So he came out of jail maybe twice. He's been out of jail maybe twice. I've seen him maybe twice. One of the times was when I was younger and my mum put the idea in my head that I've got this real dad and he wants to see me. I remember him coming to see me when I was really young and he just kind of came in once and then promised me the world and I never saw him again. So you can imagine as a kid, me with my stepdad, we had the best upbringing, but we didn't have money. We didn't have luxuries. We didn't have anything like that, but we had experience. And now obviously being older, I can appreciate that a lot more. But when I was younger, I was just looking at all my friends around me with all of the nice things and all of the materialistic things. And I was just like, well, that's the lifestyle I want. So imagine this so-called dad coming in now and telling me, oh yeah, he's promising me the world, is going to give me this and that. You can just imagine how confused I was. I was like, oh, well, hi, dad. Do you know what I mean? It was just a confusing time. But anyway, he kind of came and then he left and then he maybe came again. He came out again once or twice and then that was pretty much it for that. But yeah, where was I? Moved back in with my mum. And as you can imagine, me and my mum have never really had a relationship. We didn't grow up together. So I felt really, really uncomfortable around her. And this is where my depression really kicked in when I was about 13 years old. Maybe I was just going into high school and I just got to a point where I was feeling really, really sad constantly. And I could not explain it. I'd get home from school and I'd spend the whole day at school just being quiet. Yeah, I had friends and whatever, and I'd be able to function throughout the day. But then after school, I just remember feeling so lost and just I'd go up into my room and I wouldn't like speak to my mum or anything. And I'd just feel so sad. I'd just constantly be crying. And there was times when my mum would ask me, like, what is wrong with you? What's your problem? And I didn't have an answer. I was just always constantly sad, always. And I will also mention that in this time in my life, I was actually going through a lot of skin issues like eczema and just like really bad acne. So I had the worst self-esteem. I had such low confidence and that probably brought upon the depression, as well as then having to move back into an environment where I did not feel comfortable. It really just like I say, spiraled me into a depressive state where I just didn't know where to get out of it. I hated myself. I hated how I looked in the mirror. I just thought I was so ugly. And even my mum would make comments about like how ugly I look. And when I'd be crying for no reason, she'd say like, you're spoiling your face and just things like that. And it just really, it really got to me. And I honestly did not know what was wrong with me at that point. And it wasn't until my school actually noticed this. They started to notice that I was depressed. And at this time, I didn't even know that word. I didn't know what it meant. But they actually put me through a counselling. They put me through to the school counsellor. And I just remember sitting with my head of year and him saying to me, Montel, I'm going to get you to speak with this woman. She just wants to talk to you a bit about how you're feeling and what you've been going through. And I just remember bursting out crying to him. And none of my friends knew at the time. I used to get taken out of my lessons at just random times. I'd get taken out of a lesson and acting like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to speak with the head of year. But he'd sit me in his office and he'd just be trying to ask me questions about like how I'm feeling, what's happening at home, what am I going through? And then he put me through to this woman, this counselor. And I just remember at the time, I found it to be completely pointless because I was not ready to open up to a stranger. If I couldn't speak with my own mother, if I couldn't speak with my own family, if I didn't want to tell my friends, I don't know what made them think I was going to tell this random person. It just was not happening at all. So I ended up doing this counseling for about a year, but I would literally go in there and we would be making no progress. I would not say anything. She'd ask me the same questions and it was just very pointless at that point in my life. And yeah, it was a low point, but also I got to a point where I became quite high functioning with my depression and my anxiety. And it was the counselor who diagnosed it as well. So she told me that, yeah, we think that you are experiencing child depression. And I didn't tell anyone at that point. I didn't tell my friends. I didn't tell my mum. I didn't tell my auntie. I didn't tell anybody what I was going through at this point. I just kind of let it happen. And I don't know if the school told them, or I don't know if they had to keep it confidential, but I just know that I felt like I had to keep this to myself. And I went through that, and it got to a point where I became a high functioning, I became someone who had high functioning depression, so I could get through my day. And I guess it just came across that sometimes I may be a bit moody, and people would say to me, oh, you're like so moody, you've got no personality, blah, blah, blah. But they didn't know what I was actually going through, and I could not even explain it myself either. So yeah, it was just a very confusing childhood, confusing teenage years. I kind of had a really, on one side, I was having the best time, I was having a great experience, but then on the other side, I was just like going through my own inner trauma. And when I reflect on my story, it's not that I've been through the worst of the worst, because I know that so many people have been through things, and so many people have a story, and everyone has a story to tell. So I guess this is just me owning my own story and what I've been through, and just recognizing how it did affect me and what I'm actively doing to get through it. So yeah, I guess to sum up this stage of my life, my teenage years, so from the age of 13 to the age of about 19, I'd say that a summary of that was a lot of me being in victimhood and also survival mode. So when I say victimhood, it's me feeling like I was a victim of my own circumstance, feeling like everyone had to feel sorry for me. I remember just wanting people to feel sorry for me. I remember just wishing my family would like be more there for me. I just remember always feeling like a victim. And I guess reflecting now, I had every right to feel like that, because I was a child, I was young. And yeah, I can understand why I would have felt the way I felt when I was younger. And now I'm, of course, moving into my adult years and becoming more independent. I'm recognizing that people have their own life to live. So you cannot be a victim. You cannot expect people to treat you like a victim. They're living their own life. They're going through their own experiences. But through my teenage years, I guess the summary of that was just me feeling like a victim, and then also transitioning into a survival mode, which I will talk about in a second. But overall, I just felt pretty lost inside. But on the outside, it was very high functioning. So I looked okay, I sounded okay, I could get through the day. But inside, I just always felt just lost in a way. And yeah, but I still made it through school. I made it through, not university at the time, I made it through college. And things was going. They were still going, but I just knew that I felt lost. And at this point, I was not aware of personal development, things like that. So I just thought, right, this is life. We're going to see what happens at this point. So now we're getting on to the turning point of my life. And this is the single event that truly changed my whole life experience. And honestly, I am so happy this happened to me. And I know a lot of people may watch this and think, why would you be happy that you almost went to jail? But I can honestly say I am so happy that this experience happened to me. So basically what had happened is I ended up getting into a relationship. So this was my first official relationship. And obviously I had little relationships when I was in primary school and high school, but I don't count them. So this was my first proper relationship when I was around 17 years old. I ended up seeing this guy who was older than me, and I guess it all just happened so quickly. And I'm, like I say, I'm just so happy that this happened, because there's so much that I can unpack, and it's really helping me to evolve as a woman, as a human being, as a female. It's just, there's so much that I can unpack from this that I know I can help other young women in this same situation. But I just remember this happening really quick. Literally, I met this guy, and 1 second, my mouth's getting dry. Yeah, I just remember meeting this guy. We was from the same area and everything, so we had the same mutuals and everything like that. But I just remember meeting him. Next minute, he's asking for my number. next minute we're together. I feel like that is literally how quickly it happened. I don't even remember having a talking stage. I just remember him just telling me, yep, you're my girlfriend now. And that was pretty much it. No word of a lie. I don't remember anything else after that. And I just remember being so young and so gullible and so vulnerable. And I was just like, yep, that's great. He's an older guy. He's one of the man them from the area. I was like, yeah, this is happening. And I was just like, so I just went into it and I was just like, yeah, like this is happening. No questions asked. And we ended up being in a relationship for around 1.5 to 2 years. And I can honestly say the first year, it wasn't the worst ever relationship. And we definitely had great times and things like that. But I guess it wasn't also the best. And I didn't even realize it. I didn't realize how low I was valuing myself. It was one of them relationships where literally we'd just be either at his house, I'll be watching him play Xbox, and then I go to work, and then we repeat. That was literally the cycle. I don't remember. I think we went out for dinner maybe once, and I just don't remember anything else after that. Literally, we was just like, yeah, it was just one of them, like, relationships. You know, you girls, you know what type of relationship I'm talking about. But like I said, I was just so young, I was so naive to what a relationship should look like, what it should be. So I was just happy to accept it for what it was. And yeah, I was just kind of doing my own thing in a way. I was working, I was doing, going to college and things like that. But I guess my life revolved a lot around him. And I even now, looking back, just like recognizing the things that I used to do for him, like just buying him loads of stuff, spending all my wage on him, and I didn't get any of that in return. And it's just all the things that we do to impress men and without even realizing it. And yeah. Anyway, so got into that relationship. Like I say, I was in that relationship for about 18 months or so. And towards the end of it, was when I was finally starting to recognize my worth. And I was finally realizing that I can do much better than this. Like, I am a young, intelligent female. I'm good looking. I've got things going on for myself. I've got 2 jobs going. Like, I had things going for me. So I was just starting to recognize that, okay, things need to end here. And the relationship itself was very abusive in a way, which was emotional and mental abuse, I'd want to say. It was very manipulative. It was very, you're mine, you're not going anywhere. It was very controlling to a certain extent, just controlling what I can do, what I can wear, where I can be. Just things like that. And there was a bit of physical abuse, but I'd say it was more us both getting into like an actual fight and him just like actually hitting me back. And so it was more like that. So there was a few occasions like that as well, but it was just all in all such a toxic situation to be in. And it got to a stage where I was like, you know what, I'm done, I'm ready to live my own life. So at this point, I ended up moving out for the first time. So I moved out at the age of, how old was I was 17. Yeah, so I must have been with him for about a year, and then I decided to move out. I didn't live with him I was about to move in with him and his mum at the time, because me and my mum was not getting on. But luckily I found my own strength and I found my own sense of self-worth at that point. And I was like, no, I'm gonna look for my own place. And that's what I did, and I ended up moving out. And obviously he tried to follow me, and he'd show up at my house and he'd threaten me, he'd get his mum to call me, he'd just do all the manipulative things. He'd act like he was so like heartbroken, and obviously as a young girl you just don't know how to take that. But this was ongoing, and I must have been in my new place for about a month until things started to get really bad, to the point where he'd constantly be showing up at my house, he'd be calling me, he'd be making threats like, if you don't let me in, I'm going to do something stupid, I don't want to say the word in case I get demonetized here, but he'd basically threaten me with like taking, you know what I'm trying to say. I'm probably going to get demonetized anyway for what I'm about to say next. So I might as well just say it. So he'd threatened me with things like, oh, if you don't take me back, I'm going to take my own life. I'm going to do this and that. And it was just very scary. And like I say, I was just so young, so naive. I didn't know whether or not to take it seriously. Looking back now, obviously, I should not have taken him seriously because it was just all him doing his manipulative thing. But I took it seriously at the time because I just didn't know what else to do. So it gets to a point where his mum would then be calling me and she'd be like, Montel, you need to take him back. You need to do this. Otherwise, he's going to do this. And I just felt so much guilt and I just did not want anything bad to happen. So I decided, okay, you can come in. And I was happy to let him in my house for the night or so. And that night he came in and I just remember him. I don't want to tell all of the details like this, but I just remember him acting very weird for the whole time. And it got to a point where he brought something that he should not have brought into my house. He brought a firearm into my house. And obviously at that time, I was just shocked. I was confused. I did not know what to do. And I just literally, I tried to obviously get him out of the house at that point. And he was just threatening me with doing crazy things. And it was just such, I've never obviously been in a situation like that before. I did not know how to take it. I did not know what to do. And it just got to a point where I ended up kind of talking to him, calming him down a bit. And then I asked him to leave my house. And at that point, he asked if I would leave with him. And I was kind of like, no. But long story short, I ended up actually leaving the house with him at that point. And that's when shit just happened. Police just started showing up from here, there and everywhere. Nothing I've ever seen before. Like, it was crazy. And it was obvious that they've been watching him for some time and they've been watching like my house. And then they ended up coming. Long story short, I ended up getting arrested for this. I ended up getting charged because I did not know what I was doing at the point. I did not know what to say. So I just told them the truth. I told them what happened and I ended up getting charged for it. And it just ended up being a long drawn out thing, which went on for about a year or so. And it got to the point where my ex turned on me. And he was basically trying to blame it on me. He was trying to say, oh, no, it belongs to her. She was doing this and that. And it was such a crazy experience. But it got to the point where my solicitors and everyone was sitting me down like, Montel, there's actually a possibility that you can go down for this for 5 years. So you can imagine being a young girl, never been in this situation before, never been in trouble in this way before. I honestly did not know what to do at this point. I did not know what to think. I thought my life was over. I literally would say to myself, if I should have made a trigger warning at the start of this, because I'm talking a lot about like abuse and things and suicide and things. But I just remember saying to myself, if I actually go to jail for this, then I don't think I'm going to make it through. And I refused to make it through. And I just had very dark thoughts at that time. And yeah, it was just a lot to go through as a young girl. I was still trying to live my life while, and still trying to go to work and go to college while in the background, I was dealing with not only the fear of actually going to jail for something I didn't do, but then also going through a somewhat heartbreak because my ex, the person who told me that they loved me and I thought loved me, they have now turned on me and the relationship has just like completely come to an end. We never saw each other again after that point, but yet we'd have to see each other in a courtroom. You can just imagine how crazy that whole experience was, me having to stand up in court and blame him in front of all his friends, in front of all his family. I just had so many people turning on me. I felt guilty even though I was innocent and he was putting me in such a horrible position and situation. I just felt so guilty and just it was really horrible, but it honestly just got to a point where the faith was restored and I had to stay strong for myself. And I said, you know what, once I get out of this situation, once I'm free, I am not going to take another second of my life for granted. And I'm definitely going to make some out of myself and I'm going to change my life around, because being in a situation like that just completely changes your perspective on so many things. It changes your perspective on life, because even though on the span of things, when you look at it, 5 years may not be a long time, but to me, it felt like a lifetime. So I was thinking, if there's no way I can go to jail for 5 years. There's absolutely no way I can ruin my life like that for 5 years. So yeah, that happened. And I just said to myself, you know what, once this is over, I definitely need to change my life. And anyway, long story short, I think I've been going on for that for some time, but obviously it didn't happen. I was let go, you could say. And from that point on, I just decided, you know what, now is the time to change my life. And this is where I really started to get into personal development. This is where I started to get into just healing myself and really recreating my identity, really getting rid of all of the layers that I had, all of the depression that I was going through, the low self-esteem, the lack of confidence, all of that. I got to a point where I was like, all right, it's time for a change. And the first thing I remember doing was just like starting to read loads of books. So I would read loads of personal development books, and that would then lead to me going to in-person seminars and just learning about healing and personal development and things like that. And that's really where it started for me. Let me see what else I've got on my notes here. Okay, so yeah. Next phase was all about recreating my identity. So I knew that in order for me to change my life and to be the person I want to be, the first thing I really have to work on is confidence, because I was at a stage where I had the lowest of the low confidence. I did not like what I saw in the mirror. I did not like myself. And I also felt like other people did not also like me too. So I just knew that confidence was something I really had to work on. I remember when I was in my teenage years, I would literally always be looking down. I could not give anybody eye contact. And because I had loads of eczema on my face, I'd always be covering my face constantly. So I just remember that was one of the things that I was committed to working on first. So I remember that I just set a target for myself that every single day I committed to looking at one person in their eye without using my hands, without any, just by giving them eye contact. And that was one thing that I really worked on in order to build my confidence. And then when I saw that worked, and when I saw the dramatic improvement that made onto my life, it then spiraled onto other things. And then I was growing my confidence in so many other ways. I was doing solo trips. I was just really acknowledging the fact that working on yourself is going to get you what you need in life, is going to get you where you need to be. I mean, your life. So that's the first thing I did. I also just put myself out there a lot more, put myself out there for different opportunities, different experiences. I met new people as well. And I want to say also, throughout this whole journey, I've lost a lot of friends. I've distanced from a lot of people. I've grown apart from a lot of people. And all of this, it's definitely hurtful. And it just is one of those things that you end up going through. I remember when I realized that there's more to life than my current area, my current environment, my current hometown. I would want to like venture out and meet new people. And I remember the people that I grew up with would have a comment or say something about my choices. But you know what? You have to do life for you. And if you are really committed to recreating yourself, rebuilding your identity and transforming your life, then these are just some of the sacrifices and some of the things and the experiences that add to your journey. So yeah, it just got to a point where I was building my confidence, and I really just felt like I was rebuilding my own identity. And through that, I just started to attract amazing opportunities that I could only have dreamed about, like just different job roles. I used to always be so confident about getting jobs, and I still am. Like, when people worry about whether or not they can get a job, I personally don't get it, because I've always been that girl who I can send off my CV or can apply for a job and I'll literally get it like instantly. And nowadays, that's of course known as the law of attraction, but back then I didn't know anything about the law of attraction. But I now realize that the law of attraction definitely worked. And I remember when I was applying for different jobs, I would always get it. I would always get every single job I applied for. And it's because I just had the mindset of, oh, I'm going to get this job. Of course I'm going to get it. Even when I may not have fully believed it, I just had that confidence in myself that, yeah, this is going to work out. I'm definitely going to get this job. And it was the same with opportunities, just me working on my confidence and me just putting myself out there, even when I didn't always fully believe it, even when I didn't fully feel confident in myself and comfortable, this is what really magnetizes me to different opportunities. And this is what truly changed my life to the point where now I am here on YouTube. I'm speaking to you all so freely. I'm a coach, I'm a mentor, I've built a business, just so many things going on. I've traveled the world both solo, things like that. I've got an amazing relationship right now, and I'm working on myself, going to therapy. All of this really happened through a choice, and it was a choice of me deciding that I am worth changing my life, and I am worth, I'm worth more, and we all are worth more. We all have the choice to change our situation and better our life, regardless of what we may have been through, regardless of the circumstances. And I honestly feel like our own stories are what really guides us through our life. No one is meant to have a perfect, smooth sailing story. And I personally always say that my story was created for me to be here sharing like this, and for me to always create a book, for me to also create a book as well. I always say to myself that anything negative that happens to me, it's just going to go in my book. Don't worry about it. And one day it's going to change someone's life. One day it's going to help somebody else out there. So that is kind of a bit of my story and how I got to the point I am now. However, what I really wanted to stress within this, and something that I've personally realized a lot recently, is that whilst I was going through my transition, whilst I was changing my life, and yes, amazing things was happening, I was creating this dream life that you could say, I realized one thing. And the thing I realized was that I was still in a survival mode. And what I mean by survival mode is when you feel like there's a constant threat, the way you operate is completely different. So I know that some of you can probably resonate with this, but I would always call myself a strong, independent woman. And I would say, I don't need anyone. I don't need anything. I am independent. And that's one thing I would pride myself on. I would pride myself on my independence and also my maturity as well, because of course, from the experiences I've been through, I was made to be mature at a very young age. So I would pride myself on that, and the fact that I didn't need anyone and I can do everything myself and I can make money myself and I can do all these things. And whilst that is true, I've realized just how toxic that mentality actually is as a woman. So I've realized that throughout my transition from going from moving out at a very young age, having to be in a survival mode, being forced into that survival mode where I was paying bills, working all these jobs. That was the first sense of survival. Then moving into this this period in my life where I was going through this toxic relationship and I was almost being sent to jail, things like that. That was, of course, another survival mode that I experienced. And then even moving into my early teens, there was times where I was still like living by myself, so still having to be in that survival mode. And I've just noticed that a pattern was that survival mode. And I know that this is a pattern for a lot of women, a lot of young females as well. We feel like we have to be in this survival mode. And the truth is we do. As females, especially in this society, we have to have a sense of survival because things are changing. A lot of us have been brought up with single mothers. A lot of us have been brought up around divorce, broken childhoods. There's so much that has happened within our life that has sparked something within us to make us think, oh, well, yes, we have to fend for ourselves. We have to be independent. So to a certain extent, it is true. However, what I'm realizing is it is very toxic for you to continue within the survival mode throughout all of your life. And if you do continue to do so, it's going to show up in so many areas of your life and it's going to sabotage so many areas of your life. So, and while we're on this point, I am going to be hosting a masterclass all on this topic because, like I say, it's something that I personally have experienced, especially over the past 12 months, being in the relationship that I'm in now and also going through my own therapy with my therapist. By the way, if you are interested in therapy, I would highly recommend BetterHelp. That's who I've been doing therapy with for the past 6 months or so now, and I just honestly cannot fault their service. So if you are interested in testing that out, I do have a link in the description and you can get your first week for free. But I would highly recommend, because it has just awakened me to so much, and it's awakened me to a lot of the experiences I had in my childhood, what led me to be in this survival mode. And it's also opened me up to the ways that it is actually sabotaging the experiences that I'm having in my life right now. Well, not so much now. Now I'm open to it. And the past 12 months, I've been doing a lot of the inner work, and I've been going on this journey of removing myself from this survival mode, which is why I want to share it with you. But one thing I realized is just how much it was affecting relationships, just how much it was affecting me mentally, my mental health, and in my business. If you continue to stay in the survival mode, it will filter through so many different areas of your life without you even realizing it. And you're always going to feel like overwhelmed, stressed, burnt out, and you're not 100% sure what it is. But what you'll realize is a lot of it's linked to us feeling like we have to be in the survival mode, feeling like we can't ask for help, feeling like we don't deserve to be supported. A lot of the time, being in a survival mode is linked to having low self-worth, having low self-esteem, not feeling like you are worthy of certain opportunities, not feeling like you are worthy of support and help and guidance. And it is your birthright to ask for help, to have that support, to have that guidance. So this is something that I really feel strongly about, teaching you all how to remove yourself from this survival mode so you can live a more wholesome life. Because what I personally realized is when I was operating from survival, whether it be me just living paycheck to paycheck, or me trying to save every penny, scared that I'm going to lose it, or me not accepting certain opportunities because I was scared that I may not get an opportunity again, or even some ways in my relationship, it was showing up me just trying so hard to be so independent all the time, to the point where my boyfriend was even like to me, like, you don't have to be this way. You can ask for help. You can have that support. And it has just honestly opened my mind to how, as women, we live in this mode and how toxic it is and how it can manifest so many different problems. I have in the past year or so, or even last year, I experienced I experienced a few health issues, not serious. I experienced a few minor health issues, like just with my digestive system and experiencing like IBS, things like that. And I recently found out that a lot of that is linked to stress. When you are feeling stressed and burnt out, it can manifest so many different health issues without you even realizing. And I saw a story recently about a 26-year-old girl who had a stroke because of stress. And when I saw that, I was just like, nah, something needs to change. We cannot continue to live our life like this, because I know that so many young people are living under these stress, living under these invisible laws or guidelines that the society have set, but it's doing no good for us. It's really doing no good. So with that being said, I am going to be hosting a masterclass on the 29th of November, which is going to be all about how you can reclaim your power and stop operating from survival mode. So the masterclass is called Surviving to Thriving. If you look down in the description box, you'll see more information about it there. But within that masterclass, I'm really going to be diving. I'm really going to be diving a lot deeper into exactly how survival mode showed up in my life and how I have overcome that, and how you can also do the same. And I'm also going to be talking a lot about how you can reclaim your power, how you can step into your next level identity, how you can recreate your identity, and how you can just start to enjoy life, start to have more fun in life, and start to just really take back that control. Because as you are evolving into womanhood, you may be in your early 20s, late 20s, mid 20s, 30s even, as you start to evolve, you get so many insights, so many things start to change, you get so many awakenings. And without you openly having these conversations, and without you actively looking for the support, without you doing your inner healing, then it's not going to be good. Let's have a look at the comments. So we've got, who have we got? Oh, welcome everyone. So Lauren Hartz, thank you so much. Javier, welcome. Hattie says, I followed you from when you made your second YouTube video. Wow. What was that video? I remember my first one was, I think I did an eyebrow routine, and then my second one may have been about my ring light, something like that. Yeah, I remember those days. Damily says, I'm enjoying listening to your story. I heard the challenges you face. I agree, things happen in life for a reason. Life is not easy. Definitely. Absolutely. And like I say, the reason I really want to share this story and just be open and vulnerable with you is because I know that there's so many people who don't have a voice or a platform. Of course they have a voice, but I just like to say that by me sharing my story, it's giving a voice to the voiceless. It's helping somebody out there, even if it's just one person, resonate with this and just see that there really is a way out. And through my channel, I really just want to be having more open conversations about this and just sharing with you my insights into what I've personally learned, how I've transformed. Because honestly, like I say, my life could have gone a completely different way. It could have gone a completely different way. My dad's been in jail for my whole life. My mum, we didn't really have a great relationship. I could have blamed them, and I could have literally just followed a completely different path and being a victim to my circumstance. But it got to a point where I took ownership and I changed my life. And I know that for a lot of people, it would be difficult for them to do that. They don't know where to start. And for me, it came so naturally that I didn't even realize how resilient and how strong I've actually been through this. So it really just is my mission now to share with as many people as I can. And like I say, I will be sharing in a lot more detail within that masterclass. If you do sign up now, the first 20 people will be receiving a very special offer. You don't have to put a code in or anything. Just head over to the description. And once you see the payment options, if you are one of the first 20 people, you will see that option there. But that will be happening on the 29th of November. Cannot wait for that. Cannot wait to dive deeper into the topic of survival mode, reclaiming your power. I'm also going to be sharing my 5-step system. Is it 5 steps? Yeah. 5-step system on how to activate your personal power. And this is a system that you can take through for life. This is the system that I personally used when I was first starting my journey. Obviously, back then, it didn't have a name. I was just going through it. But now I'm reflecting on my journey. I'm actually realizing these are actually the steps that I took. And throughout my whole journey, every single up level I get, every single stage in life I get, I resort back to this 5-step formula that I've personally created. It's helped me through so many situations. It's helped me through so much hardship. And yeah, I just want to gift that all to you in this training. I want to create an environment where you can also share, you can ask questions, and we can just have open and honest conversations. Because like I say, without these conversations, where are we going? We need to be growing together. We need to be helping each other out together. So this is really what I feel like I am being called to do, and I am just so excited for this journey and to share with you all. So for everyone who has watched on the live, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for giving me the space to share my story with you all and to be vulnerable. I know after this call, I'm probably going to have a vulnerability hangover, and I'm just going to do something very nice and lighthearted. I'm probably going to run myself a nice bath and watch a movie or something. Because yeah, when I'm sharing one-on-one, or when I'm sharing within my coaching programs or my masterclasses, I'll be as open as possible. But here on YouTube, you know, you can understand it's open for anyone to watch. But I truly believe that the right people will come across this video and will get what they need to get from this video. So that is it for this one. If you do have anything you want to share or any comments, feel free to leave it down in the description box. Oh, the comment section, sorry. If you do want to speak to me one-on-one, you can always send me a message on Instagram. However, I would personally prefer email. So my email is down in my description as well, just because I don't closely monitor my Instagram anymore. As you know, I'm not really on Instagram that often anymore. So yeah, if you do want to speak to me about anything, or if you want to inquire about my services, all of that information is down in the description. And if you have watched this and feel like you are ready to take the next step within your own journey and healing, then definitely check out BetterHelp. I do have a video on my channel sharing my experience so far. I actually need to create an updated video very soon, because a lot has changed, a lot has changed. So I need to create an updated video soon, but if you do want to check them out, please do. It's so affordable, it's so convenient. The therapists on there are high quality, well, at least the one I've got, super high quality. We've got the best relationship, and honestly, it's the best investment I've made in myself. So if you want to try it out for completely free, all the information is down in my description. But yeah, that is it for this one. I'm gonna love you and leave you. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you on the next one. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast episode. If you was vibing with this episode, be sure to screenshot this screen and tag me over on Instagram, and I will also share. You can find me over on Instagram at Montel B, and you can also find me on YouTube at Montel B as well. So if you want more goodness like this, then I do have a link in the show notes which will give you access to my email list. That's where I share exclusive content, exclusive episodes, and you'll be the first to know about any upcoming trainings. I would really appreciate if you went ahead and rated this podcast. I am brand new, so every rating counts. You can leave me a rating over on Anchor or Spotify. Thank you so much, and I'll see you in the next one.